When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, always fun on a Friday to talk to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And Mike, man, there's so much going on. By the way, I see the NFL just decided to really screw over college football tomorrow for their playoffs. We got two great games on Saturday, Texans at the Chiefs and Steelers at the Ravens. Could care less about college football.
Well, but, you know, this one's interesting to me because I saw a clip of Tony Kornheiser saying that college playing the postseason games up against NFL games is a finger in the eye of the NFL. First of all, nobody puts a finger in the eye of the NFL.
Correct.
And second of all, I don't believe, and I'm in the process of trying to nail this down, I don't believe that the NFL would have played this Saturday but for the fact that they decided to play Christmas games on Wednesday and they needed to take the four teams that would be playing on Christmas and move their game to Saturday for week 16 so they have 3 days in between off. So it's like Sunday to Thursday. This is Saturday to Wednesday. I don't think the NFL was going to have games tomorrow. I think it's only because they decided, after initially saying, no, we're not going to do it, to embrace playing games on Christmas this year on a Wednesday.
Well, they gave him two great games, I can tell you that. That's pretty damn good. That looks like the playoff. That looks like a month from now that you could see those teams playing each other. So it was worked out pretty well. Hey, so I'm watching the game. I had the sound down. I'm about half falling asleep. The fair catch, the free kick, fair catch interference, and a 57-yard field goal. Did you know right away? Did you know the ruling on that? Did you know?
Well, and here's why I knew, and this is kind of pathetic because it really dates me, but before the Madden game, the way that the NFL indoctrinated America's youth was through NFL films and through books published by the Punt, Pack, and Pass, and Kick Library that you would order in school, and they'd show up in a box, and, you know, you'd get your books, and they smelled great, and I've still got several of them. And I learned from one of those books, More Strange But True Football Stories, which meant there was an original Strange But True Football Stories that was so good, they did a sequel. And the last chapter of More Strange But True Football Stories tells the tale of a fair catch free kick from a 1968 game between the Bears and the Packers. Mac Percival kicked what was the game-winning field goal via a fair catch free kick. So I became aware of that when I was like 8 years old. And it's happened once since then, 1976, 45-yarder from Ray Wershing, then with the Chargers. And then last night, the 57-yarder. And they didn't make nearly as big of a deal about it as they should have. They never mentioned once it was the longest fair catch free kick in NFL history at 57 yards. The prior record was 52 by Paul Hornung in 1964. They didn't mention that 9 had been tried since Wershing and failed. They didn't mention that 15 of the last 16 had failed. They really could have leaned into it and had fun with it, and I was disappointed they didn't make a bigger deal out of it.
Yeah, and then I didn't know the guys were 10 yards back. I didn't remember that one either, so I was just going, thank God that I wasn't doing that broadcast and had to sit there like a big dummy with no idea what was going on and how it was all set up.
So it looked like the old kickoff.
Yeah,
the kickoff,
you're
the
right.
Kickoff formation we got rid of this year.
Hey, speaking of that, all right, we've been through 14 games. What's been your take, kickoff and kickoff return? Good enough to come back with, or let's make some adjustments, or let's blow it out?
The real question is whether or not they're going to move the touchback point from the 30 to the 35. The touchback rate is down, and I'm surprised that as many balls are being put in play as they are. But if you put the touchback at the 35, you're going to see a lot more kicks in play. The question is, what will they do about the onside kick? Will they finally embrace a 4th-and-20 type play where a team that's trailing by multiple scores has a chance to retain possession, a better chance than what we currently see with the onside kick? Because, look, this was 10, 11 years ago. Roger Goodell was on CNBC, and they asked him what team he roots for, and he says, I root for the team that's trailing. So they want to create opportunities for these games to stay exciting. You want the team that's losing to have a chance to get back into it. So I think they'll do something about the onside kick to make it a more viable opportunity for a team to get back into a game. But this formation's here to stay. It's safer because the impacts aren't as high speed and high power. And, once you get used to it, it's always reminded me of playing electric football when I was a kid. That was another way they indoctrinated us. Drive is crazy, setting up a play for 20 minutes, and then you click the button, and they all run around in circles. But it looks like electric football where they're all frozen in place until, the ball lands in the hand of the returner. And I think we've all kind of gotten used to it. I haven't seen a lot of complaints about it. And then there may be some tweaks, but I think this new lineup, this new approach is not going anywhere.
Mike, here in South Florida, some of our fans and some of our media members have had it with the Tyreek Hill social media and time for me to go coach. Some people are offended, especially since he's coming off. He didn't play very well. He and Tua together did not go well in that Texans game. What's been your take? He had to come back and explain the whole thing, like someday I want to coach and all that stuff. What'd you read into Tyreek Hill's social media post?
Well, look, we're all responsible for how we formulate our words. And when you say it's time to go coach, you're not saying it will be time for me to coach when I retire. You're not saying it is an era in which more and more current players should think about coaching when their careers are over. He said, it's time. It is time. Not it will be time. It's time for me to go coach. And, is he frustrated this year? Why wouldn't he be?
Sure.
Is he aware of his football mortality? Why wouldn't he be? He's closer to the end than the beginning. He's having a rough year. He hasn't had a 30-yard reception since week one, for crying out loud. And, he's stuck. He did this extension before the season. He's at the mercy of the Dolphins. I'm sure he would like to be playing relevant, consequential football games in December. And technically he still is, but not the kind that he thought he would be playing. He'd rather be jockeying for the one seed, not hoping to win and get a lot of help, and maybe there's a 1 in 100 shot at getting to the playoffs. But yeah, I thought we played his explanation today on PFT Live, and it's predictable, it's convenient, and ultimately it's not convincing to me. He was frustrated, he acted out in that moment.
Yep.
And it was a little glimpse into what he's thinking right now, and he's thinking, how much longer am I going to be playing football?
Well, I always wonder, too, these 3 years, and I know he's made a lot of money, and he's set. He's right. They're paying him a lot. They extended it for a lot of money. But I got to tell you, how much of this goes back to he's watching the Kansas City Chiefs and this run they're on, and he used to be on that team. Part of it's right. That good-looking girl, it's got to bother him a little bit, doesn't it?
Hey, he called his shot, and they called his bluff. And I think a lot of it had to do when we rewind to what happened in 2021. He was targeted more than he'd ever been targeted before in his career, and it wasn't enough. I think he saw what Cooper Kupp was doing that year, and he thought, man, if they would throw me the ball as much as Cooper Kupp's getting the ball, I'd set all the records. I'd be the Calvin Johnson of this generation. And it became clear in the aftermath of his departure that he was a pain in the ass behind the scenes to the Chiefs, and they finally just decided enough. We're not going to give him the contract he wants. We're not giving him the football as often as he wants it. If anything, he's keeping our offense from being what it can be because Patrick Mahomes is trying to force the ball to him because, we don't want to hear this guy complaining that he didn't get the ball enough. And so they ship him out. And they've only won every Super Bowl that's been played since they traded him. Now, I don't know if they're going to win this one, but going 2-for-2 in championships after you trade a guy who would have been regarded as one of the indispensable figures for the first championship you won, that really made the Chiefs look good, and it didn't make Tyreek look all that good, and he's been chasing that ever since. And, you know, he realizes now that it's a lot harder to have an elite team put together than he thought it was.
Last night I did a little radio back for to San Francisco last night with their sports station out there. They're on this Brock Purdy thing. Some of the fan base and some of the media guys are like, I don't know. It's a lot of money, between 50 and 60 million. You know, it's up, and he might play hardball with them, and you guys went through it. What was it? What's your take on Brock Purdy? They have to pay him, don't they?
Well, Brock Purdy's got one more year under the contract, so they can kick the can through 2025 if they choose to do so. And the 49ers have been challenging for players to deal with. You know, they're not just going to hand a bunch of money over to him if they don't have to. And I keep saying, and this goes all the way back to Jared Goff's initial contract extension with the Rams in 2019. I was shouting from the rooftops, don't give him a market value contract. And they did. And 2 years later, they attached a first round pick to his contract to get it off the books, for crying out loud. And look at the Tua situation. If we applied sodium pentothal to Stephen Ross right now or attached him to a lie detector test, would he say, man, I wish I hadn't given Tua that contract? Like, we see these deals get handed out. Who are they bidding against? You're bidding against yourself. You're putting this giant number out there that there's no guarantee the player is going to earn. And what have we seen from Tua in recent weeks? A guy that's getting paid $55 million who isn't playing like a guy who's getting paid $55 million. At a certain point, it's on you to justify that salary. And it's not a criticism. It's just a fact. So if I'm the 49ers, why am I going to throw a bunch of money at Brock Purdy? Why am I going to do that when I could go draft another guy and develop another guy who could maybe become another Brock Purdy? Or pay a veteran a hell of a lot less than top of the market for a guy who, you know, this is the year he was supposed to be dominant. That's what he said before the season. I want to be dominant this year. Well, they haven't been dominant.
No.
They've been middle of the pack at best. And yes, it has a lot to do with injuries, but great quarterbacks tend to overcome a team's injuries. Patrick Mahomes overcomes whatever happens in Kansas City. Tom Brady always overcame whatever happened in New England. And Brock Purdy has not overcome the adversity the 49ers have gone through this year.
Mike, we were talking about this earlier. Do you think teams in the NFL pay attention to what fans think? Do you think they get a feel for their market and what fans think?
I think it's foolish if you don't. And when I hear, you know, the old school football guys, and Andrew Berry made a comment like that this year in Cleveland as it relates to Browns fans not wanting Deshaun Watson to be the quarterback. You know, well, we love our fans, but we're not going to listen to our fans. Well, your fans are your customers. And at some point, you better listen to your fans. At some point, you better have some sensitivity to the outside noise, because those are the people who determine whether or not your stadium is full. Those are the people who determine whether or not your local TV ratings are as high as they can possibly be. Those are the people who have the attachment to the franchise. And if you aren't paying any attention to them, I think you're missing the point. Now, you can factor in their preferences and you can respectfully disagree, but to act like you're above listening to your customers, that's the pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered mindset that Mark Cuban articulated 11 years ago in his prediction of what's eventually going to happen in the NFL. And if owners start ignoring their fan bases, they're going to have problems.
Mike, just to follow up to that, the reason I bring that up partially is because Chris Greer, the noise is loud everywhere. Articles written to people going, this roster is not what it needs to do, and the moves we've made, and people we get rid of, and the people we keep. Fair or not with what Chris Greer's done?
Well, you know what matters? What matters is what Stephen Ross thinks at the end of the day. And he was the one who said right before the season started, this is a Super Bowl team. Now, he added the caveat, injuries can change everything. And, of course, the absence of Tua for four games was a factor. But since he's been back, it's not like they've slipped into this juggernaut status. They still struggle to beat good teams, struggle in cold weather. And at some point, you have to wonder what Stephen Ross is going to do about it. So would it surprise me if he moves on from Chris Greer, especially because so far it looks like they gave Tua Tagovailoa way too much money. And I'm assuming Chris Greer was one of the people saying we should give him this contract, we should give in to his demands, we shouldn't play hardball with him. The other question I have, Joe, and I've been raising this as it relates to the Bears, but this applies to other teams as well. When you're looking for a coach, the traditional avenues are hire a coordinator who's never been a coach before and hope that he can figure out how to coach. Hire a fired former NFL head coach who's available to anyone that wants to hire him, or hire a college coach. And not enough teams consider the option of calling another team that currently has a head coach and saying, hey, you know, is there any chance you'd like to make a change, but you don't want to fire your guy, but maybe you'd want to trade your guy, and, you know, maybe the thing's coming toward an end. And I wonder if the Bears would call Stephen Ross about Mike McDaniel, what Stephen Ross would say about whether or not he'd be willing to let the Bears try to hire Mike McDaniel if the Bears were offering draft pick compensation, because he got an extension before the season too, and I wonder whether or not Stephen Ross regrets that one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It really is. Hey, I leave you with this one, too. How about this Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Clark, and now it's gotten to the vaccinations. I'm just curious wherever the hell that came from with Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead.
Joe, I've been following this for 3 years. From the moment that Aaron Rodgers lied to everybody about being vaccinated, and it wasn't an affirmative lie, it was a word game. He said, yeah, I've been immunized, and they didn't ask a follow-up. And his attitude is, well, you didn't ask a follow-up, and I would have said I wasn't vaccinated. I've got some homeopathic thing. But regardless, he's got this idea that anyone who criticizes him is potentially bought and paid for by Big Pharma, which means that he says nothing that is susceptible to fair criticism. Nothing he says or does could be reasonably criticized by anybody who wasn't corrupted by Big Pharma. That's his attitude, and he said it multiple times, and it's delusional. I mean, I criticize him all the time. I'm still waiting for my Big Pharma check. You want to pay me for saying what I believe anyway? I'll take it, and I'm being facetious here. But this persecution complex, I mean, there's a lot of weird things going on with Aaron Rodgers, and he has said a couple of times in recent appearances on the Pat McAfee show, when he retires, he's going to disappear, and we're never going to hear from him again. I can only hope that he's telling the truth when he says that. I have a feeling he isn't, but I can only hope he is.
He's going back to Oroville, California, work on some relationships with his family. Mike, thank you, and have a great holiday, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. See you, buddy.